World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, where did that weekend go, huh? Where did that weekend go? And then last night, oh man, we had some storms come through, and I'm laying in bed trying to get some sleep, and you know, lights and stuff flashing outside, and I all of a sudden then my phone goes off. You guys get those warnings on your phone, and so I got up and looked at the radar, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, here we go. And so we all made it through as far as I know. I haven't checked anything, a lot of wind, all that kind of stuff last night. When the sun comes up, we'll know what exactly happened. But wow. Yeah, you know, we are at such mercy of nature, aren't we? I mean, when it gets right down to it, if a tornado hits, if a hurricane comes, if a fire comes, we're at such, God's merciful. God's merciful. So, hey, last day of March. Thanks to all of you for being here. Yeah, Paul, fake nature too, creating. Oh, the chemtrails have been unbelievable around here the last few days. And I, sometimes you ever just want to say, oh, screw it. Just quit telling people. You think I'm crazy already? Just screw it. I'll shut up. I'll go live on my cave someplace, and I'll let you sit around and. Oh man, I got a lot of stuff today, man. A lot of really, really good stuff. I went to two events this weekend. I'm not going to talk too much about those, okay? And I want to apologize to everybody out there at both of those events because they both were really, really good. Information overload. But hey, Spencer, real quickly, as I'm talking right here, right now, I'm gonna let me hang on with me as I do this. I'm going to send this to you, Spencer, and I want you to play this, even though we played it. There it is. All right. I'm going to send this right now to you, Spencer. Hang on, buddy. Coming to Jared. Because, folks, on Saturday night, I was in Mansfield at Tom Dunn's event. Okay, coming, Spencer. So Saturday, they had Friday night, I went up to Tom Dunn. They did a freedom encounter teaching how to deal with demons. Saturday, it was part of another event that was down in Delaware, Ohio, and had some really, oh man, some great speakers there and information overload. I mean, it was all really good and it was good. And then the next day, which was Saturday, I was back in Mansfield, Ohio, speaking at Tom, I closed out Tom Dunn's event Saturday night, and I just had overload. I just had information overload there. So much out there. But I closed. Thank you, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I made this video that I'm going to show you here. It's about 2 minutes. It says Spencer. Well, Spencer copied this off of YouTube. I think this thing is about six years old, maybe 10 years old. I don't know when it was. I'm standing out in front of the abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, let the words of our lips and meditation of our heart be pleasing in Your sight, in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit told me make this video. And I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this. And I want you to understand, after all the events are over, they were all good. They were great. Friday, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, yesterday at church, maybe for some of you, it was all good. Here's the question. Now, are you looking at me, Goslin? Now, what the hell are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what we heard? And I have to, bottom of my heart, That's always the trump card to me. Nobody seems to have a solution. Everybody can point out the problem. Well, hey, will somebody get a tourniquet, please? Will somebody get a tourniquet, please? This guy's bleeding to death. Rather than we analyze 16 different ways he's bleeding. oh, and if you notice, the blood's going here and all the blood's in. I mean, we analyze and we walk away from these events. I'm not being critical. We walk away from these events. And where do you plug in? What do you do? I got so much unbelievable information again. What do we do? So I finished up my presentation up at Tom Dunn's event. It was wonderful, Tom. It was all really, really good. With a little video that I made about 10 years ago out in front of the abortion clinic. And here's my message to you today. Go ahead.
Friends, Coach Dave here on Thursday morning. I wonder if you can help me out. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for someone else. Do any of you know where I might be able to find him? You know, I called one of my pastor friends yesterday and asked him if he would be willing to come with me today at the clinic. It's just me and my wife here. And he said, oh, Coach, I'd sure like to be able to come, but be honest with you, I'm really, really busy, and maybe you can find somebody else. Then I have a Target protest that's coming up this weekend. You know what Target's been doing with restrooms and all that kind of stuff. And I reached out to several of my friends and said, hey, how about coming with us Saturday morning, standing up against Target? They said, oh, Coach, I'd like to, but I got a lot of stuff planned on Saturday. Maybe you can find someone else. Yeah, and then I saw that, hard to believe this, but they killed this guy out in Oregon, Lavoy Finicum. I said, you know, we need to stand up and push back against that. I'm wondering, is anybody willing to help me out in trying to get the government to investigate what really took place there with Lavoy Finicum? And everybody I called, they gave me the same guy. They said, listen, Coach, we'd love to help you, but really, best person for you to get would be someone else. I'm looking for him. If anybody knows where I can find someone else, let me know. Oh, we need him so badly. Help me find someone else. God bless you.
Well, that's a boom, is it? Is that ever a boom? And that's really, really where it is. And all this weekend, I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this information, and I'm blown away. And I'm thinking, Lord, we're going to leave here. I shared this illustration. I just feel led the Holy Spirit to share it again. Okay, I'm a football coach. Spencer, you can get that off the screen. I don't care, whatever. I'm a football coach. I understand football and I understand team. But you know what I understand more than anything? I understand huddles. Do you know that the most important moment of the entire football game? You go to the Ohio State Stadium, they got 100,000 people in there, red, scarlet and gray everywhere you look, and the band's playing, the music's playing, everything's going on, and we miss the most important event of the whole game. And I ask them Saturday night, do you guys know what that is? Do you know what the most important moment in that game is? And of course, nobody knows. But I know the most important moment in the whole game is the huddle. It's the huddle. But if you went to an Ohio State football game with a beautiful marching band and all the pageantry that goes along with it, if you've never been to an Ohio State football game, folks, man, it's an experience, right? But if you went there and you paid $210 for a ticket and $8 for a hot dog and $28 to park, and you know what I'm talking about, right? $6 for a Coke, and you're sitting there, and the referees come out on the field and they blow the whistle, and the teams run out on the field and they just stay in a huddle. How long would it be before you start throwing stuff? You start throwing your hot dogs. You start to, come on, somebody do something. I didn't come here to watch you guys huddle. Come on, come on. Because look, folks, people don't go to a football game to watch a huddle. They go to watch what difference the huddle makes. I'm going to say that again because you just missed it. People don't go to events, speaking events, Make America Great Again. People don't go there just to huddle. They go there to see what difference the huddle makes.
Boom.
And I just want to acknowledge here the huddlers. I mean, I could run down through people who are doing something. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? People are doing something. That's what I love about this huddle. Coach fires you up in the locker room, and then you go run a play. We got to quit analyzing the plays. Run it. Hey, Zypher, run your play and then huddle back up and run another play. Randy's calling plays. Craig Mickle's calling plays. Jeff Klein's calling plays. Angie Ryan's calling plays. We got plays being called everywhere. Brett's calling plays. We can't slow down because why? This huddle is important for seeing what difference it makes. Betty Perkins running plays. And the one thing, in my opinion, that has destroyed Christianity. I'm sorry, modern Christianity. Are you looking at me? Is the pastor-driven church. The pastor-driven church. When Randy Lunsford made a decision that he was going to go out and start doing some staking, he was going to stake county, every county, whatever, courthouse. Hey, Randy, did you call your pastor and ask him for your permission to do it? You don't have to answer. Craig Mickle, when you decided that you wanted to save God's children, start a website and put up billboards, did you call your pastor and ask his permission? And I could run down a whole litany of things down here. Pull up Isaiah 56 for me, Spencer. Isaiah 56. Because the Holy Spirit showed me this on Saturday night. And go to 10. Go to verse 10. Okay, because I've always read this scripture. I've always read this scripture. And I pointed the finger at the pastor. His watchmen are blind. Now, I said, huh? That's the problem in our churches. Our pastors are blind. They're blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're greedy dogs. They can never have enough. They're shepherds that can't understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain from his own quarter. I said, it's the pastors. It's the pastors. And then the Holy Spirit smacked me right in the face. Said, Randy Lunsford's a watchman. Craig Mickle's a watchman. Mel's a watchman. Jeff Klein's a watchman. Clint Harper's a watchman. See, we're not blind. God's watchmen aren't blind. But we're plugged into an unworkable church system. See, people are going to send me emails. Coach Dave, you shouldn't be talking about the body of Christ that way. Huh? What are you talking? You think that place, that old dead place that you go on Sunday, you think that's the body of Christ? Look around you, dead men walking. You think that's the body of Christ? Oh, Betty. Oh, no, 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 no. No, that's a place where you've been rocked to sleep. That's a place where you go to get therapy every Sunday. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. And the truth of the matter is, we're in the mess we are in because those of us who are watchmen, we're not just blind. We've been told to sit in the back of the bus and keep your mouth shut because we're trying to build a bigger church here. And Coach Dave, every time you bring up that child trafficking and every time you bring up that abortion and every time you bring up that homosexuality, Coach, you bring division in the church. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe that brings division in the church? That's what they teach us. We're not going to talk about that stuff. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about the Lord here. Well, what the Bible says, that for you who knows to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. So let me ask you something. Would it be a good thing to do to go stop abortion? Would that be a good thing to do? Would it be a good thing to go stand outside an abortion clinic and hold a sign and try to rescue unborn babies? Would that be a good thing to do? What's your pastor say? Go ask him. Oh, Coach Dave, no, we don't mix politics and religion here. We're about the gospel. And I get so frustrated because we ought to be winning. But some of you don't want to win because you're so locked up in your theology that you're just convinced it's about over and there isn't anything we can do except, I think it was that guy, Jesus, that said, occupy till I come. And on Saturday night, I'm not bragging, I'm not patting myself on the back. But I said Saturday night to the crew that was gathered up there in Mansfield, Ohio. By the way, Mel, thanks for coming all the way up there. Yeah, evacuation theology. I said, here, I'm paraphrasing this morning. I said, here's the kind of church I want to go to. The Bible tells us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Does it say that or not? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I said, the first thing I would do, if I was a pastor, I'd stand in the pulpit and I would say to the people in the pulpit, in the pews, hey, listen, if you're pro-choice, get out of here. Get out of here. But no, we put up signs, everybody welcome, everybody welcome. No, not everybody's welcome. Have nothing to do with those unfruitful works of darkness. Do not bring them in to, don't bring the enemy into our huddle. Don't you do that. Amen. And if you're part of them, get out of here.
Boom.
That's my gospel. That's where I am. Everybody welcome. No. Ain't everybody welcome. Sorry, ain't everybody welcome. Now, you're welcome to come, and you don't have to adopt what I believe, but you have to adopt what the Spirit tells us. You have to adopt what the Bible tells us. Oh, yeah. Yep. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Our churches are killing us. Sorry. I'm sorry. Our churches are supposed to be the onward Christian soldiers. What do they call those in the Marine? Oh, I got it. They're platoons. The churches are platoons. They're not medic hospitals. They're platoons. Where we're sent into the culture to impact it, change the culture for the cause of Christ. Gomer Pyle platoons. No, we're medics. We're medics. Praying for the emergency squad to come. Come and get us, save us. All right, I'm done. By the way, his watchmen aren't the pastors. I was in the room on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with watchmen. They get it. The hundreds of people in those two rooms, they get it. They are the watchmen. You and I are the watchmen.
Amen.
We can't be blind. We can't be dumb dogs. We have to learn to bark. We can't be sleeping, lying down, loving to the slumber. We can't be greedy dogs. We cannot be shepherds that don't understand. That's why some of you are having so much trouble. You're trying to awaken people that want to sleep. They want to have sweet dreams. They want to be able to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. They want their best life now when Jesus Christ said, die. You die. You pick up your cross and you follow me. You die. And the prosperity gospel is a message from hell. All right. Caught my breath here. Where am I? Go to number two real quickly. Well, I got some really, really good stuff for you today, folks. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Number two. Diana Schrader, don't know her. Published on the Blaze Glenn Beck. War on Truth. Why science keeps changing. Okay, Spencer, scroll down. We'll read this real quick. It's not very long. What we call science in Western culture has been weaponized for many decades to legitimize whatever narrative the powerful want to push. This should be self-evident after the COVID-19 debacle, where nearly everything that was labeled a conspiracy theory turned out to be true. Vinny, give me a book. I'm going to read that again, Vinny. Then I want to boom. This should be self-evident after the COVID-19 debacle, where nearly everything that was labeled a conspiracy turned out to be true.
Boom.
And nearly everything the powerful told us turned out to be false. Remember President Biden threatened us with a winter of death or promising that the shot would prevent contracting COVID? Scroll on down. But it goes back much farther than that. It isn't always about following the money, although that's a pretty reliable measure of who's benefiting from any particular research study. That's right. You want to find out the science? You want to find the money? Create the science. Now, in the I didn't see that coming department, there was recently published a peer-reviewed medical journal article that criticized corrupt medical journals and their corrupt peer-reviewed studies. What? Let me stop a minute. I trust Paul Gosselin far more than I ever trust any Harvard University professor or any teacher connected with the Cleveland Clinic. Sorry. Since virtually all the science that gets reported in the media, the science on which public policy is made, and the science that subsequently affects our everyday lives in countless ways, always tends to stem from peer-reviewed research in medical journals. In other words, it's the prisoners talking to the prisoners. That's what goes on in jail. Hey, Bill Dunphy, that's what goes on in jail, isn't it? Huh? You get in jail, and everybody in jail's got a better idea on how things ought to be done. And so we're taking advice from the prisoners. Obviously, our mainstream media has not reported it, but we can go back to another day. For now, I want to focus on the result of the faulty assumption that science provides unassailable answers to any question, much less life's biggest searches for truth. Because for many decades now, the most unquestionable, absolutely carved in solid rock truth from science is this. Everything evolved from something else. And we're all just a product of nothing but random chance. Friends, I want you to understand this. If a child from a non-believing home goes into the public schools, he will never hear the name of Jesus Christ. He will never hear it. He will never hear it. When Moses, the author of Genesis, wrote the first five books of the Bible, he was not writing metaphorically. In other words, he wasn't making it up. Moses recorded history in great detail, beginning with the origin of time, all the way through Israel's exodus from Egypt to God's faithfulness in the wilderness. But what I want you to see is how Moses records the first 7 days of creation. Scroll up, Spence. At the end of every divine act of creation, Moses records God's uttering a holy declaration over his finished work, and God saw that it was good. And in the case of humans, very good. The reality is that until the fall, described in Genesis 3, there wasn't any death in the world God had created. This is where the theory of evolution crumbles, according to scripture. You see, the theory of evolution requires death, and a lot of it, before humans even come on the scene. But if death had been part of God's original creation, he would not have described it as good. The Bible, therefore, easily discredits the science of secularism's evolutionary golden calf. Folks, evolution required death. You're missing it. You're missing it. There was no death till Adam's fall. But Genesis 1 and 2 both teach that God made humans in his image. In fact, he made us with his own hands and breathed into each and every one of us his spirit to bring us to life. In contrast, all of the other creations and the rest of the natural creation were simply spoken into existence. It bears repeating that God made humans in his image. Friends, animals are not equal to humans. Nature is not equal to humans. Each and every human being is a precious creature made in the image of God. This is why believers must be pro-life and opposed to any philosophy that places any other creature or creation above human life. A woman's right to choose is not above human life. This, of course, has political ramifications. We are not going to support, for example, protecting a tiny fish with a policy that puts human life at risk. California, that's what they're doing. Of course, if you think you are just an advanced form of a monkey, which, by the way, is what we're teaching the kids in our schools, you don't really have any grounds on which to say that you're more important than that little fish. And many people in the world put themselves in that category. I just evolved from a fish. I'm just a little bit above a fish. But the scriptural worldview, the one that they will not teach in anybody's schools and the Christians will not demand be taught in their schools, the idea that God created the world and he especially designed humans, is just one of the preliminary arguments that explain why believers must not try to fit the evolution square peg in the creation round hole. Do people have to understand and believe in the Bible creation to be saved? No, they do not. But once we place faith in Jesus, we want to learn as much as we can about him. And that means understanding the beginning of creation. I'm about done. We should not acquiesce to a theory that has never been proven. You do know this, don't you? That in the public schools and in the colleges, they still teach the theory of evolution. Let me ask you something. Do they teach the theory of reproduction? Do they teach the theory of digestion of food? Do they teach the theory of fire will burn it? Is it a theory? A theory that tells us we are random cogs in a wheel with no greater meaning. A theory that is presented as science without any evidence to back it up. I'm confident stating this, Diane Schrader says. Christianity is complete, evidence-based worldview that stands on its own. And the whole Bible, including the opening chapters, supports that big picture.
Boom.
Thank you, Vinny. I was just going to say, Vinny, give me a boom. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Does your pastor believe that? Does your pastor, is he teaching that in your church? Has he done a series on biblical creation and why it matters? No, no. Why? Because they just preach the gospel here, coach. We just preach the gospel, coach. We don't work with politics, coach. We just preach the gospel, coach. I see it, Claudine. I'll get you in a second. So the battle's on truth. I'm going to show you a couple things here real quickly, and I'm not going to spend time on them. This weekend, first of all, wow. Go to number 5. I got to get this guy on. I met him. I didn't really meet him. I shook his hand. Got to get him on. ScrewBigGovernment.com. Folks, he's been in the underground tunnels. He's been in them. Did you hear me? He's been in the underground tunnels. Everybody else will laugh you off. Pastor will laugh you off. The elected officials will laugh you off. He's been in them. Louis Hermes. I'm going to get hold of him. I'm going to get him on here. Put this in the chat. Check out this website. DUMS. Deep underground military bases are real. Real. Hang on with me. So I've been, I don't know if you guys have been noticing this. Go to 1B. I think you've been noticing it, but the government's doing everything they can to make sure you don't notice it. Fauci and the deep state did this. This is Bachelorette Katie Thurston, 34. Discovers breast cancer, stage 4. Spread to her liver 5 days after her wedding. And this is, Fauci and the deep state did this. This is happening more and more, and all of them took the vax and usually boosters. Folks, are you noticing this? Do you see people around you who are all of a sudden they're getting cancers and people are dying of cancers and they don't have any idea why? They don't have any idea why? Sherry Timpenny said this weekend that the die-off hasn't even begun. How about this one? Shedding. Oh my goodness. Pure bloods amazingly are staying healthy. I'm a pure blood. Remember that big Biden yelling that he had no longer had any patience of those who avoided the vax? What a piece of crap. It was the total opposite. They're dying everywhere we look. Quiet cancers, they're calling them. Quiet cancers. So I'm going to touch on this and then I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to put these. Yeah, Brett, I'm a pure blood too, brother. I'm a pure blood too. Love you and appreciate you, Brett, more than you know. And Mel came up there two nights in a row, drove all the way up there. Folks, I'm telling you, we got us a team, man. And I'm telling you this. Oh, Lord, do I have to say it? Vinny, tell me, yeah, Coach, you have to say it.
Do it, brother.
Okay. You have a vision in your heart to do something. And your pastor won't take your training wheels off. That's what it is. You want to go, Craig Mickle wants to go stop child trafficking. I don't know, Craig, do you get an amen from the pulpit?
I'm getting a few of them because God's opening the doors.
Not at first, though, right, brother? Not at first. Alan Zyphon, you haven't any luck? Pastor, stand up and support all the stuff that you're trying to do one or another. I'm just looking at names over here. Jeff, you getting any pastoral support, Jeff? The pastor's lining up. I said, man, why got Jeff doing? Man, we got to get you. Angie Ryan, the pastor's standing. Pastor's standing in line to help you, Angie Ryan. Are they standing in line out there to just get behind what you're doing? Hey, David Arthur, see, pastor's getting behind you, trying to warn people about what the grooming they're doing. They just see pastor's in line behind you. People are telling me they can't hear me. So I don't know what's going on.
Sound issues. So you're static on your voice, Coach. Maybe
you can't understand.
Oh my goodness.
So Coach will be right back.
You mean I said all that and you couldn't hear me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Are you now?
You were garbled.
Oh, my goodness.
You were garbled, Coach.
Oh, no, I get it.
Coach, it was just the last 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm telling you the truth, right? Huh? Listen. our help me out here. Our pastors lining up to get Randy into their church to talk about staking. Randy, is your phone ringing off of the hook? People want you to come and teach that to their congregation. Hey, Craig, is your phone ringing off the hook? Pastors want you to come and say, oh, tell us about this child trafficking. We got to stop this child trafficking. Are they ringing off the hook? Hey, folks, is your phone ringing off the hook? People want you to come and tell about the jab. Are they? No! No. Wow. So I'm going to show you two things, and I'm going to open it up. Pull up number three. Hey, friends, they have lied to us and lied to us and lied to us. They have lied to us. And I don't know the answer to it. Will you pull up number two? What did I say? Number three. Pull up number three for me, Spence. Folks, there's something to this. There's something to this vibration thing. Have you guys followed this at all, the pyramids? What they're finding under the pyramids? And what they're finding under the pyramids. Mark Trump, you listening out there? Hey, Mark, you listening? They're finding an electrical vibrating system under those pyramids. That the pyramids weren't burial grounds. They were cell towers.
I'm listening.
Cell towers of a group of people who had technology that we don't even have today. They're finding this under the pyramids. Quantum physics. Under the pyramids. Put that in the chat. And then bring up number four. Bring up number four. This guy does a mystery beneath the pyramids, a discovery that changes everything. What really was under those pyramids? What really happened to the great flood? It was more than about just Noah putting animals on the ark. Something was going on. Energy, frequency, vibration, cancer, chemtrails. It all ties together. Do you think I'm crazy? And the purveyors of the truth are standing in the pulpits. And they don't know any of it.
Amen.
Oh, boy, something's about to happen. Okay, one more thing. I'm going to open the door. One more thing. Where is it? Where is it, Coach? I'm sorry. I got so many daggone things up in here. Number 1A. 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 Holy Spirit gave me this morning. God said, and God said. What did God say? Somebody tell me what God say. What did God say? Go on. What did God say?
Let there be light.
And there was light. Right? Huh? 100 Bible verses. God's speaking to us every day, folks. 100 Bible verses. My sheep hear my voice. So faith comes from hearing. For the word of God is living and active. What? Active? Active? Sharper than any, what? Piercing? Trump, there's some energy here. Call to me and I'll answer you. Tell you great and hidden things that you haven't known. God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. Jesus is the word. All scripture is breathed. There's energy. Breathe. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So shall my word go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. There's power and energy there. And we aren't even taught this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I go on and on and on and on and on. There's something, that's why I'm speaking to somebody right now and they know who I'm talking to. Okay? Jesus said, blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. God forbid. I'm paraphrased it. But some of you out there claim to have faith and then praise the devil. Then that's a boom. Somebody say boom. Somebody say, why aren't my prayers answered? Because you don't really believe it. You don't really believe, because faith is a force.
Boom.
Boom.
No wonder they wanted to get Christianity out of the schools. No wonder they wanted to get Christianity out of the government, because it is power. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. It ain't just a Bible we read. It is electrical impulses. I'm convinced. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the mind. Friends, stop, stop. Hang on. How do you blind a mind? You blind eyes. How do you blind a mind? Blinded the minds to keep them from seeing the light, who is the image of God. Do you see this? Do you see this? Energy, energy. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. What? Oh, yeah. He's speaking right now. Some of you just ain't hearing it.
Keep on going, Coach.
It's all over me, man. It's all over me. We don't believe in the supernatural. We do not believe in the power of God. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. I love my wife. She's an example. I'm the same way. I pray for one thing and then speak damnation as soon as I'm done. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Say, Lord, amen. They are fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, and you have ordered their steps and your plans. Lord, you've laid out their plans. God bless you, Lord. Oh, my goodness, I wonder what's going to happen to them. Has anybody lived like that? Does anybody else live like that? Say with your mouth, you don't believe it in your heart. And out of your heart, the mouth speaks. What? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Phew. Wow. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is good, brother. This is good. It's powerful, Coach. But the pyramids, Coach, they can find wherever they want. But let me tell you what we know. We know that granite is the highest. Thank you, Mark Trump. It's the highest frequency of any rock, I believe.
Randy, by the way, didn't Jesus say that even the rocks would cry out? And we couldn't figure it out. What is he talking about? Rocks can't speak. Go ahead, Randy.
Amen, Coach. Hey, that's the truth right there. So, Coach, they build the pyramids. They build all the structures all over the world still with granite. the Georgia Guidestones built with granite on the biggest outcrop of granite in the United States. Coach, that's their frequency. They're using it. That's all they got. Guess what? Guess what, Coach? Faith is superior to granite, to their frequency, Coach.
Say that again.
Faith is superior. It is entirely a more stronger, powerful force
Because faith is just
all the granite they can put together, Coach.
Faith is a supernatural force.
Boom!
It's a supernatural force. It crushes granite. How do I know? Directed energy weapons. Yes or no? Did directed energy weapons bring down the Georgia Guidestones? Those granite stones? Dude, there's an unveiling and a revealing going on around us, and we don't get it. We don't get it. Because our watchmen are blind. Vinny.
Blind, deaf, dumb dogs. That's what they are, Coach.
Vinny. Folks, are you looking at me, folks? If you're not saying anything, you're a dumb dog, too. If you're not saying anything, if you're not barking because you're afraid of who you might offend, then you're just a dumb dog. That's all you are. Dumb meaning deaf and dumb, unable to bark. We need some barking. I feel you, Mark Trump. Come on in here. Tell us about these frequencies, Mark, that we don't understand, that God spoke and it happened.
Amen, Coach. There. Amen. I think our atmosphere is an amplifier for frequencies. I think it's contained. I think that we are subject to the frequencies that are in the atmosphere. I think the Earth generates frequencies, and they're filtered and amended by the different layers of stone. Okay. Mark, so the inner Earth has a frequency, and then
would it be safe to say, Mark, that frequencies were God's idea? You see, folks, this isn't new agey.
Fundamentally, I believe that ATP, adenosine triphosphate, allows motion. Without ATP, plants don't grow, humans don't grow, muscles don't move. There's no motion, which is the condition before day one light. Okay, there was no motion. The earth was there, the water was there, the darkness was there, and it was all there, but nothing was moving, Coach. There was no frequencies. So then light came and separated darkness. Okay, so that set up the opportunity for energy to be created. It started the clock ticking. Right. It started time. I think that indication of day one starts time. Day two is the firmament, which is heaven. It's all the energy in the universe between the waters. And it was called the firmament between the waters. And it was good. It was called heaven. So heaven contains all the energy of the universe that we can extract from. Day three, the earth came up from the water, right? Day four, the stars and the sun and moon were put in place. Now, before that, there was no frequencies, and then there were frequencies.
Wow.
Now, we're part of it. We are part of Earth. So we are part of a frequency, like Randy said, of the sandstone and the granite and everything in Earth. We are connected to it. We are Earth. So that makes us resonate when the earth is subject to a frequency. We resonate too. Plus, we got water, Coach. So all of that, everyone knows that water is impacted by frequencies. You can watch videos on the beautiful shapes it makes under different frequencies. Why does water align to different frequencies? I don't know, but it does. Right? So all of that's happening inside you all the time. And when God spoke, you better believe the rocks and the atoms of earth and everything woke up and said, what do you need, God? You know, because the rocks are going to speak, Coach.
Amen.
They're going to cry out, is what it says. Amen?
So Mark, on Saturday night, folks, I'm not blowing my own horn, okay? I'll try to get a copy of it. I had about 10 minutes in front of this group on Saturday night. And, dude, Holy Spirit unloaded. And afterwards, people would come up and they would say, oh, that was amazing. And I would say, oh, yeah, what did you like about it? And you know what? They couldn't even tell me what I said. But they felt it. They felt it. There's something to this, folks. They felt it. And have you ever been in a situation when you're trying to explain something to somebody and you say to them, you just had to be there? So there's something to this energy thing. Oh, man. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Take captive every thought. You must be able to do that. We must be able to do that. You know what's really good? Something they don't hardly talk about. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You have the discerner of right and wrong, of truth and lies right inside of you. Pull that back up there, Spence. Number 9. Vibrations Facebook page. Huh? This is probably new agey. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, Stephanie, the new agers sure believe in frequencies, don't they? Good frequencies, bad frequencies, cosmic vibrations. Could it be that the church has yielded all of this, the power of the Holy Spirit? The key, the vibrations that God spoke, the creative power of God's word. And we spend most of our time sitting around reacting to what we see. When Jesus said, don't look at things you can see. We're doing that. Because faith is a substance. What? Yeah. Now, faith. Now, faith. Faith right now. Faith right now is substance. There's an energy. There's a power to faith. Bible says life and death. Come on, I'm just giving you scripture. Life and death is in the tongue. What does the tongue produce? Words. But what are words? Vibrations. I was laying in bed last night, about midnight. I heard that thunder begin to rumble. I didn't see the thunder. I didn't see the lightning. But I heard it. So this makes some of us nervous, makes some of y'all nervous, because it does seem somewhat new agey. But the reality of it is, new age people understand something we don't understand. George, come on in.
Yeah, it's kind of funny what Mark was saying on ATP production. And it just got me thinking that statin drugs is one of the major things that cuts off your ATP production. And what is the main thing that cholesterol statin drugs do?
That's right. Why do they give them to you?
Messes with your mind and basically dumbs you down to basically subvert you from God. They just got me thinking. I was like, oh my God.
It just makes you put things in perspective. And then I sent you a thing on speaking versus thinking. And again, like you've been saying, speaking things into existence is powerful. It's not just thinking it, but it's actually speaking it to the universe and speaking of power.
It's squirting water on fire, dude, or squirting fire on dead stuff.
Right.
There's an ignition that takes place with our words. And I've got, look, some of you, are you looking at me? Some of you are speaking damnation. You're speaking damnation. You're speaking water on the fire. So I have faith. I believe God's going to heal him. And then 2 minutes later, you're moaning and groaning. And Randy.
So let's connect some scripture, Coach. This is great. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Boy, oh boy.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
How do you speak in your heart? How does your heart speak?
Coach, go ahead. What does the Holy Spirit do when he comes in? He writes God's law on your heart. That's the new covenant, Coach. Now, what does Jesus say? He says this. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain,
speaks to it.
And believes it. It'll be moved, Coach. The mountain is everything that opposes God. That's the mountain. It doesn't matter what time, where it is, it comes to you in your life. You hear God and he says, speak to the mountain. This is applying what you're telling us, Coach. We can live in this if we will speak. When we hear it, faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is a simple little formula, Coach, but it works. But we have to believe it. We got to speak.
Randy, some of us are plugged into the wrong energy source. Doubt cancels faith. Oh, man. See, folks, it's not name it, claim it. That ain't it. It is simply speaking what God says about the situation. That's all it is. It's been bastardized. People run to faith healers. Eileen, come on in. Then Mark. Good to see you. Eileen came all the way down from clear up in Detroit. Good to see you, Eileen, your husband.
Thank you. Yes, it was great. Two things. Taking off on what Mark said about water, there's a video that a person had three samples of water. The first sample, they spoke love into it, joy, all good, powerful things. And the second sample, they left it alone, did nothing. The third sample, they spoke negativity, doubt, anger. And within a very short time, I think it was probably 30 days, the first sample still was pure. It wasn't, and the second sample that they left alone, moss started growing in it, but not much, but it was still, you could see it was turning. But that third sample that the person spoke negativity was black. And the second thing is, that is why talking about speaking, that's why it's so important not to be texting all the time. Pick up the damn phone. People need to hear your voice and your heart and the vibration and the frequency. It changes everything. But they want us to, they want to take that power away from us.
Amen. Great point. Wow. Mark, we just got a minute or so. Go ahead.
Amen. I have seen that video, and it's a demonstration of what you're saying, Coach. And I'd like to just caution everyone on what you said. Your words have meaning. So be careful. The Bible says that your vain words are going to be judged, that everything you say in vain. So I think that ties in with our authority. And if you are exercising your authority wrong, think about a leader. Wow. A coach who's taking advantage of his team members, of his players, right? Yeah. That's what you don't want to happen with your words. Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's so deep. Judd.
Yeah, Coach, this lines up exactly with really what the enemy does. When you confront them, just like we have with certain pastors, what do? They retreat. They do not want to talk about the situation. They do not want to add light to the situation. And when they walk away or they silence you, now you've got the Bar Association. When they silence you, it's because they don't want that frequency out. They don't want it, other people to
amen
and have their frequency multiplied. And that's the case. And even this situation we're watching locally, they won't acknowledge it. They won't even give it any acknowledgement. It's as if it didn't happen. And that's what happened in our government.
Amen.
People wanted to cover up January 6th and be like, oh, it didn't happen. Like, that is the spirit that we are piercing.
Judd, I got to go because the time's up here. Hang right in there with it, folks. Huh? Life and death's in the power of the tongue. Zap. See you tomorrow.